Welcome to Truth for Today, the Bible Explained, a Christian ministry program that endeavors to accurately teach God's Word in order to challenge, encourage, and edify listeners. Today, we continue our talks on understanding Bible structure with Paul Callicott speaking about understanding the overarching theme.
When you pick up a book, it is useful to know what its primary purpose is. This is mainly to avoid disappointment. If you are looking for a romantic novel, picking up the roadmap or a cookbook is not likely to give you what you are looking for. Sometimes it is good to know what the main purpose is, because it explains the various subjects taken up. Some writers produce a book as a means of highlighting some political agenda, or to give a commentary on a social issue. The author may not take up the subject directly, but instead embeds it into a story. If we don't know that main purpose, we may well end up getting to the end of the story without realizing that the main theme was in there. It may also be that we think the story is odd because of some of the focus as the story progresses. But why all this preamble regarding the purpose or theme of a book? It is because of our topic today, which is understanding the overarching theme of the Bible. The Bible is known by different names, such as the Scriptures or the Word of God. But in these names, it is important to take a step back and look at the purpose of the Bible. What is it there for? In taking up the topic of the overarching theme, we will try to take that step back and answer that question. It is not just useful for us to better understand the Bible, but it is vitally important because it is providing us with the answer to the greatest problem that mankind has. Perhaps as we look at this topic, it is good to consider a few things that are not the main theme of the Bible, even if people commonly believe this. I have five that I want to consider before we hit on the real overarching theme. The first idea is that the Bible is there only for the purpose of telling us about God. There is a lot of truth to this idea, and we are certainly provided with His means of informing us about Himself and who He is. There has been no shortage of so-called gods in the world, but they are in and of the world. Our Bible presents to us a Creator God, who is outside of this universe, outside of time, and therefore is outside of any limitations this world has. There are some things that are quite frankly mind-boggling about this living God we have come to know. But the Bible does not actually tell us everything about God. This points to the fact that God is so great that He cannot be fully understood by us in this lifetime. Therefore, this is not the main theme of the Bible. Another idea is that the Bible is some kind of blueprint to the solution of all the world's problems. This idea has even made it into books and films. If we only had the Bible, then it would rally people and all would be made well again. Again, the Bible does have a lot of instruction for us on how to live. But the notion that it is simply a set of instructions for every eventuality is simply incorrect. There are many areas of life that are not spoken about, and specifics are not included in the Bible, for many situations we may find ourselves in. It does provide the solution for the biggest problem the world has, but it is not an instruction manual. Thirdly, there is the thought that it is some kind of religious book that provides instructions on exactly what to do to please God. This is a bit of a tricky one because there is a bit of this in the Bible. In fact, much of the Old Testament is based around that idea. But it is included not to provide such a list, but to show how we are not capable of doing so. The Old Testament is full of proof that people cannot live by such rules. Given that this is what is shown in the Bible, it would hardly be fitting for this to be the overarching theme. I will briefly mention another idea that is quite popular today. And that is the idea that the Bible provides us with a focus on King Jesus throughout, and how he will one day reign over his kingdom. I hesitate on this because it is indeed true that this is a thread throughout the Bible. However, I don't think that this is the overarching theme. Much of the idea of a kingdom and earthly reign is tied up with the Israelite promises and covenants, which is another topic in this series on Bible structure. The church has a much closer relationship with him. We are the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and are called sons of God. The King Jesus idea still has not dealt with the great problem that faces all of creation, the problem of sin and separation from God. Jesus could have been made king ages ago, but God has delayed this in order to continue to draw people to himself in a different way. Therefore, we would be missing a greater theme if we place this idea at the top of the list. No, the overarching theme of the Bible is salvation, and this naturally points to the Saviour, Jesus Christ. The whole Bible is geared around God providing the only solution to that original fall in the Garden of Eden, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I can hear some objections. Surely the Bible is actually there to point to the Lord Jesus? After all, on the road to Emmaus, in Luke's Gospel in chapter 24, it says such words in verses 25 to 27. Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But when we look at this, we indeed see that all the scriptures point to him. But what is it associated with? It is linked with his suffering. And that was not a suffering that he had to endure for his own sake. It was endured for us, that we might be offered salvation. We can take this idea further as well. We all know that there are those who have studied the Word of God for different reasons, such as history, an interest in ancient texts, or wanting to know how to lead a good life, to learn about Jesus and other examples. Sometimes just to see if there's anything to attack Christianity with. But every Christian would say and know that a knowledge of what the Bible says is never enough. They would say it is only important if people have come to see their need of salvation. This is the overarching theme of the Bible, and it is the crucial thing that God wants us to know and understand. If we grasp this, we will have a much better appreciation of what the Bible is trying to tell us and clarifies why it points to the Lord Jesus as the one who provided that salvation for us. As we consider this overarching theme, it is worth reminding ourselves of the key parts that make up this salvation story. As such, we can fit every verse in the Bible somewhere in these parts of that salvation story. Mankind. We start with the problem point because mankind has two important roles in salvation. The first is that all of mankind has a need of salvation. Our failure to live in accordance with God's righteousness means we are separated from him, and so much so that there is nothing we can do about it. We are hopelessly in need of salvation. The second part mankind has to play, though, is to acknowledge and believe in that offered salvation, the only salvation provided by God. God does not just work in the background to make it all okay in the end. Just as we are responsible for our failure, so we are responsible to accept the free gift of salvation. God. We have God who has not only made himself known to fallen man, but he has a great plan of salvation. He has provided the only remedy for our lost condition, and has put everything in place, not only to restore the broken relationship, but for those of us who live in this day of grace, to make it even better and more complete than it ever was before mankind sinned. the Saviour. With the theme of salvation, there must be a Saviour. God has recognized and highlighted the need for salvation in the Bible, and parallel to that, he has put great focus on the one who will provide it. Again, on that road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus highlighted all the scriptures that pointed to himself. He is the focus of the Bible because he is the Saviour. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 declares, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Believers. Our last part in the salvation story is those who believe. Every person has a responsibility to believe. Believers are those who have actually trusted in God's salvation and have been brought into the blessing of God. The plan of salvation goes beyond just sorting out the problem that we have with God. It provides an elevated state for those who do believe, especially for the church in this day of grace. Whenever we read of the blessings that God has in store and has provided for those that belong to him, those who have been saved, we can see that this too is a great part of that salvation plan. Having gone through the outline of the pieces that make up the salvation story, we can look at some examples of where we see this theme in the Bible. The first one that may come to mind is early in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. The first three chapters really give us the whole salvation story, but I am just going to pick out two sections. The first is chapter 3 verse 15, where the Lord God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The second is verse 21 of the same chapter. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." In these two verses, we see two aspects of the salvation of God. The first shows us that someone is going to be raised up to defeat Satan. Those words tell us that his heel will be bruised, but he will crush Satan's head. This clearly points towards the work of the Lord Jesus in defeating Satan and death by giving his life for us on the cross. The second is a pointer towards God's requirements being met. We see skins being used to cover Adam and Eve. God killed an animal to do this, showing that in order to cover the sin of the people, a sacrifice must be made. We know that the ultimate sacrifice was given by the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Another passage of the Bible to consider is 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. "David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him." In this passage, we see that David had been rejected, but in his rejection, people are still drawn to him. David is often a picture of the Lord Jesus, and this is another occasion where we can see those similarities. David was the Lord's anointed, and he was rejected by the then ruling authority, King Saul. He had not done anything wrong, but done well in his role that he was given. Despite his rejection, there were those who were unhappy with things in the world that were drawn to him and followed him loyally, despite that meaning being rejected by the nation of Israel. Do we not see a very familiar story with our Lord Jesus, God's anointed? Ecclesiastes is our next destination. This is a book that regularly uses the phrase "under the sun," and is therefore a book which is considering human wisdom and achievements. It is a world-facing view that is given. So where is the salvation to be found? But this is again a key part of salvation in that it provides us with man's view and capability in the world. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 effectively summarizes the findings of King Solomon in verses 12 to 15. "I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. this burdensome task God has given to the sons of man, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. Solomon was perhaps one of the wisest people who have ever lived. He certainly was in his time. This book is included in the canon of Scripture as the full summation of man's wisdom. And what do we find? It is hopeless and useless according to the wisest person. So what do we conclude? It points us to salvation, because again we have seen that man cannot save himself or achieve anything close to it. We need salvation, and we need a Saviour. But let us now consider another well-known passage in Hebrews. The first three verses of chapter 1 state, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. In this passage there is a great emphasis on God sending the Son of God after all of the prophets. The passage highlights the wonder of the person of God's Son as part of the Godhead. There is a focus on the Saviour. But what is the thrust of the passage? Yes, it mentions the glory that has been bestowed on the Lord Jesus and the position he holds now. But there is that key phrase in the middle, when he had by himself purged our sins, which gives us the purpose of the coming of the Son of God. It was to save us from our sins. This momentous statement of how God has dealt with the world is woven all around the provision of salvation. This idea is continued in chapter 5 of Revelation, verses 8 to 10. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, when we shall reign on the earth." This is a passage of the Bible that gives us a small glimpse of the scene in heaven. We find in this an outpouring of praise to the Lamb of God, who is the Lord Jesus. The 24 elders are generally considered to be symbolic of the redeemed believers, effectively the church. They are there in glory with their Saviour, but as we carefully read the passage, we see the theme of their praise. Again, it is the work of redemption and the winning of people from all nations and peoples that drives out this praise from their lips. The praise goes on to give thanks for what the work of the Lord Jesus has brought about. Those giving thanks are kings and priests to God and reign with Christ forever. Again, the theme of praise for eternity will be the work of salvation that the Lord Jesus accomplished, and thanksgiving for all the blessings that have resulted from that saving work. The overarching theme is salvation. Therefore, it is imperative for us to be aware of this when we study our Bible. If we have believed, then we can be encouraged and assured of God's plan of salvation. We see it in every corner of the Bible when we study it. If you are listening to this lesson, then be assured that this is what the Bible is really telling you about, and it is your responsibility to acknowledge, accept, and believe in the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is worth taking stock of how an understanding of this overarching theme of salvation impacts our consideration and study of our Bibles. For those of us who have accepted God's salvation, it gives us a clear reminder that the whole of the Bible is important. When he walked here on earth, the Lord Jesus often spoke of the fact that he was fulfilling the scriptures. On the road to Emmaus, he started at Moses and the prophets. There is not much left after Moses and the prophets in the Old Testament, and we can certainly see this idea of salvation in books like the Psalms and Esther. If the overarching theme is salvation, then we cannot just dismiss parts of the Bible as irrelevant or not for us today. If we are saved, we should remember what we have been saved from. The Bible never teaches that we need to feel guilty or obligated in some way because of our salvation. But remembering what we have been saved from is useful to give us a proper perspective of ourselves. It helps us to avoid thinking too much of ourselves, and it puts our focus in the right place. We should never be like the Pharisee who prayed on the corner, thanking God that he was not like the other man. We should be thankful that we are not amongst those who are lost because of the salvation that God has provided. We are also reminded to fully focus on the one who has provided this salvation for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can find him throughout the Bible. All study of the Bible should point and guide us toward him as the Saviour. When we look at prophecy, for instance, if we are not drawn to give glory to God and to the Lord Jesus, then we have missed the main point. Finally, it is worth repeating that this overarching theme, first and foremost, tells us that we need salvation through the Lord Jesus. All other considerations are pointless if we have not grasped this. It may be an obvious point that the Bible is all about salvation, but I hope that it can act as a reminder to all of us when we are studying the scriptures that this is the main thing that God desires to inform us of. We are apt to forget or lose our focus as we look at various aspects of the scriptures. The Bible was written over 1500 years by about 40 different authors, all divinely inspired, of course, and all of it knits together to give us God's plan for salvation and to show to us the Lord Jesus who gave himself to bring it about. I trust that we all have a renewed vigour when we read the Bible to see how much our wonderful God has done for us. Thank you for listening to the Truth for Today talk on understanding Bible structure, understanding the overarching theme. Talk number T1421.